Talk. I'm Dick Griffith. We're working through Romans chapter 1 this month. This is part 4, and we're going to look at a section that answers a question that's critically important that a lot of people will ask. And that question is, what about those who have never heard? Have you ever wondered that? Have people ever approached you and said, you know, you think this God is a God of love, but what about all those people that have never heard? I mean, those tribes in Africa or South America in the jungles, or those people before Christ, or those people that weren't in the Jewish tradition thousands of years ago, they've never heard. Is it fair that they're judged? And the answer is, yes, it's fair, but it's also just. Fairness and justice are related. But when we look in from our English understanding of fairness, well, you do this for me and I do that for you and I gave you $10, so therefore you should give me $10. That's our fairness idea of exchange. But for God, his nature is just. He's perfectly loving and he's perfectly just at the same time, not either or. And so that's one of the applications here this morning in this little section. We look at For example, raising our children. And we think, okay, my son, he's 5 years old, and we told him to do something, and he didn't do it. It's time to pick up your room and get ready for bed. And as we all know, kids don't like to do that. They think they have other things more important to do. But you say it again. Richard, that was my son, Richard. I'm a Richard. He's a Richard. And he has a Richard also now. Richard, it's time to get ready for bed. Go get your pajamas on and pick up your room. And the third time, it doesn't happen. And so then in a father's sense of justice, there needs to be some punishment meted out for that. Maybe we take part of his allowance. In our family, we gave 4 quarters a week out as an allowance, $1. And okay, you're going to have to bring me one of your quarters. Oh, no, don't do that. I'm saving that. It's, you know, and when they're young, they look at those quarters and think, oh, those are really shiny and really, really valuable, and they don't want to give up. So we execute justice, but we tell them why. And we tell them why because we want them to learn to obey. And out of that comes that heart of compassion. And when the punishment is given and the quarter is returned, they get a hug, and that's our manifestation of love. So in our simple human perspective, we're either in justice or we're in love, but God is in justice and love all the time, both of them, always, because his punishment is always out of a heart of love to change us, and his love is always to point us toward his righteousness, which is justice. So last week we talked about what do you do to believe and receive his righteousness? This week, we'd like to touch on what happens to those that are unrighteous. Is this fair that God rewards some and punishes others? It's not about fairness. It's about justice. So let's look at verse 18 and 20, Romans 1, 18 through 20. For the wrath, oh boy, wrath, that's not a fun word. That sounds like anger and hostility. No, think of that as part of his justice. For the wrath of God is revealed or shown from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. They suppress the truth. They hide it. They ignore it. They look another way. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. What can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. So for those that have never heard about Jesus, about the plan of salvation, about the Jewish people, about the promises, we call those covenants, about the laws that were laid down, for what can be known about God is plain to them. If they haven't heard those things, what they need to know about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, those things that we cannot see about God, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Woo. All anybody has to do is look around them. And one of our sessions in Going Deeper that we that I participate in and lead discussions in on Sunday morning, looked out the window at a tree and said, "Can you see God in that tree?" "No, God's not in that tree, but he made that tree. It's amazingly unique. It has roots, it has a trunk, it has branches, it has leaves. It lives, it functions, it reproduces. It can produce fruit. And the tree doesn't know anything about fruit, but it's there because God has put it there." We look around and we can say about the universe around us or the world around us or even our backyard, there's got to be someone intelligent, someone smart, someone with creative ability out there to put this together and make it happen. And we call that intelligent design, by the way. The universe gives evidence that there's something intelligent out there designing it for a purpose. So the humanist, the secular humanist, the humanist that says there is no God, he worships himself, he thinks of himself as most important, he says, it just happened. It just happened over time. But Christianity says it was made, it was produced, it was created by someone for a purpose, and that person can be known. What about those who have never heard? They have no excuse. And because they have no excuse and they can look around and they can understand what they need to know about God and who he was and what he does, his power, his creative nature, they deserve punishment. Now, in Old Testament days, we saw the people drift away from their Jewish faith and join the world around them and worship things that were made. So those people in those days looked at a tree and said, "Oh, that's a nice tree. I'm going to cut it down and I'm going to make something from that tree and I'm going to paint it and dance around it and worship it and pretend it, that it's my God." And those people have said, "I'm going to take what was created by God and then do it myself and take it myself and out of my own creativity worship what I've done." But for believers, we need to know and understand that it's our job to worship him because of what he has done. So that's why people that worship themselves, that say, "I'm number one, I'm most important," have no excuse. All right, so then if you look further in this chapter, and we're not going to read it in detail, you can do it, all the way through 26 and all the way down to verse 32, there's a whole list of things that you really don't want to be doing. And you should read through that because our world says, "Oh, hey, if we love them, if we love those boys that get married to each other or those women that offer themselves in ways that the scripture doesn't allow, if the world says, hey, if you love them and God is love, we ought to allow it." But God is not only love, he's also justice. So if you look at verse 32, the last verse in chapter 1, though they know God's righteous decree, they understand there's no excuse. They should be able to look around them and understand truth. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things, all those things that are listed above, you can read them, they deserve to die. We started this section with verse 18, the wrath of God. They deserve to die. Now we've got the consequence of that wrath. Not only do they do them, but these people approve and give approval to those who practice them. They encourage other people to follow them rather than following truth. And for you that are believers, I pray that that would not be true of you. If you love those people that practice those things listed from 26 all the way down to 31, if you love them, you would help them understand the truth. And the truth is, Christ says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me," in John 14. Father, we love you. We worship you. Thank you for this reminder that we don't worship ourselves. It's nothing of ourselves or in ourselves that pleases you. It's only what you have put in our heart of hearts, your Holy Spirit, your righteousness, your goodness, And that motivates us, Father, to love those that do not love you and speak truth to them in a world that doesn't understand truth. Give us that opportunity, Lord, as we trust you and walk by faith. In Jesus' name.